CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Better late than never. We're trying to find Pumi Mashiko. We can't find her anywhere, so hopefully she's okay. We've just received a message from somebody that she is not feeling well, so she may or may not be able to join us later. We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, you've got me and you've got Bagabantu, and that is good enough for me. If you like it, I like it.
I like it. The comment section.
Hang on a second. Hang on. Let me see what this comment section's on about. Let me just turn this down. Comment section. I don't know how this comment section's become so important. I think we should can comments. How about that? How about we just stop the comment?
It's cancelled. We cancel them?
We can do it. Yeah, we can do it from tomorrow. We can do it.
Like, they need a timeout.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're here eventually. Sorry about that. I do love the comment section. I'm only kidding. I will not cancel you. And that's not how we operate here. We like that. Anyway, the show's been captured. Send in Zondo, says Carl. I love it. Comment section takeover, says Chilaku. If we've realized anything today, it's that we'd be depressed without Gareth and his friends. Well, you know what? I mean, I'd be depressed if I didn't have the show. I mean, I said this at the beginning of lockdown when we were... and forgive my voice, by the way. It's still, after a week now, is still not back to normal. So I don't know what the hell is happening. Anyway,
Corona.
It's Corona. Well, even if it is, like, should it goes away eventually? Yeah. Surely? Is that how it works?
Oh, unless you have that long-term Corona.
Long still COVID.
Have symptoms even. Long COVID, yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. Viva, comment section, Viva. Load shedding is disrupting us. Yeah, well, that also happened because I did wake up at like 2 in the morning. And I realized that the lights had been off and then they came back on. And then for some reason they went off again. And I was like, okay, well, let's just hope they're on at 6. And we're here.
I thought they downgraded to level 3, whatever that means.
Who knows, dude? Who knows what... I think they just go, they go like this. Let's say we're level 3 today. And I think half of it is like they enjoy keeping us on our toes. You know? It's like they enjoy it.
Evil,
they,
most of my,
yeah. They're actually... it turns them on to like have us all sitting there on tenterhooks waiting for them. They're like,
it turns them on to turn us off.
Right. Yes. That should be our saying. In fact, we're going to... You know what? I'm copywriting that. It turns them on to turn us off. I like that. That's going to be our thing from now on. Just let me turn on this light properly. It looks ridiculous where I'm sitting. Just hold on.
Just another day at the Gareth Cliff Show, guys.
There we go. That's better. There, now I can see myself, I can see you, we can see everybody, we can get going. All right, so if Pumi's not here today, we've still got a hell of a show lined up for you. I mean, I was kind of hoping to see Pums this morning because she keeps us all on track. And we've got a lot to cover this morning. What are you saying? Thank you. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying Sis Pumi is the one.
She's the one.
She's Michael Feister's number one person on the Gareth Cliff Show.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry
mom's
about
mom's favorite person.
I wouldn't worry about what Michael on the comments section thinks. I'm about as interested in like what he likes and he doesn't as I am in going to prison. it's very interesting. there are so many other people who are furious about this one and they love the other one and like everybody's got an opinion. It's like me, for example. I mean, there's certain people who, when you see them on the TV or you hear them in the news, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to hear from that person. Other times, no, I don't really want to hear from them. Do you know who I'm going through a no, I don't really want to hear from them stage with? Is Piers Morgan.
Well, Johnny Depp. Oh, Piers Morgan.
No one
wants to hear from Piers Morgan.
Well, you'd be surprised. So he's just taking up the reins on his new show, and apparently it's going really, really well.
Did you see that? He compared himself to Mandela. He had a spoof or something along the lines of long walk to freedom of speech.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he has huge delusions of grandeur. But he's also eating his heart out at the moment because Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have been pretty low-key for at least the last, what, few months? You know,
aren't they poor?
I don't think
without
they're
all those taxpayer money.
Yeah, sure, poor as compared to what? Compared to the rest of the royal family, probably they're poor. But compared to us, they are wealthy beyond all imagination. I mean, they live in this mansion. There's them and their two children. What are they called? Dweezil and
Weren't they squatting at Oprah's house or someone's house?
No. They were paying the rent because they could afford it, but they weren't squatting. And I think they were squatting. Can't remember whose house it was, but someone's.
Someone famous. They're like, oh, no, we've just taken refuge in this person's house, this mansion.
Anyway, the story is that they went to the Invictus Games, which is something Harry's been involved in for a very long time. Invictus Games are for wounded servicemen and women. You know, people who've been to war and then they've come back with injuries, and then they participate in these athletic endeavors. And he's been a major supporter of the Invictus Games for a very, very long time. So, you know, everybody's really excited about Harry making an appearance again. And they must not put a microphone in front of this guy because he trips himself up without even realizing it. He's talking about how his biggest goal now is that his kids must grow up in a world where there's more equality. I'm like, dude, you're a prince, and your wife is a famous Hollywood actress. You live in California in one of the most expensive neighborhoods in the world. Your grandmother is something called a queen, which is something that was established.
The queen. It is. I think she's one of the last monarchs in the world.
It is the definition of inequality to be a prince or a queen. It is the definition. That is the one thing. It doesn't matter how hard you work or what
you do.
Because
it's your birthright.
Exactly. You didn't earn it. So if you talk about inequality, dude, what you mean is you got to walk in to Windsor Castle and you got to shoot your grandmother. And you got to take the crown of her head and melt it down and give everybody a piece of it. I mean, we'll get such a tiny little piece and it won't be worth it anyway. But you are the opposite. You and your wife are the exact opposite of equality. What is this? How do you expect us to believe you?
No, you know? You always like it when the rich talk down to you and like, oh, the poor.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. So the other thing that is ridiculous, and Marco brings this up this morning, we kind of hinted at this the other day, but is anybody watching the Johnny Depp trial? Because, Jesus.
He took the stand.
Yeah, I know. Yo. Also, not the greatest idea, right?
No client should ever take the stand, like according to all the legal shows that I've watched.
Yeah. I mean, the old adage, we were taught this in law school. It's one of the few things I remember about law school, is like only a fool has himself for a client, right? So your lawyer should, especially if you're the kind of person, and remember, Johnny Depp's an actor, so a lot of people would say, oh, well, he's perfect for this because he can get up there and do a good job. Now, I saw this clip of him yesterday where he's sitting there on the stand, and he's saying how important the truth is to him. It's a little clip. You can find it on social media. I don't need to play it here, but it's basically Johnny going, you know, the reason I'm here. And he's deadly, deadly serious. By the way, he's got a funny accent now. It's almost like half English, half American. He's got a thing going on.
He's lost somewhere in that Jack Sparrow. Somewhere there.
Yeah.
You can't put your finger on it.
He's absorbed so much Jack Sparrow that he's not sure how he really should sound. And this is true for a lot of actors and actresses. They actually become their characters. Or they become an amalgamation, you know, of all their characters.
What method acting. Have you seen that nonsense method acting and how people just act ridiculous on set?
Absolutely.
Because they, this guy, Jared Leto, same vein as
same
Johnny
thing.
Depp. He was on set and he was he's playing a paralyzed dude. So he forced guys to carry him around set.
Right.
And in crutches. He's in crutches all the time. He's asking a guy to help him pee. I'm like, dude, it's just a movie.
No,
it's just a movie. But he's like, it's part of his process.
Oh, yeah. But it's very important that these people climb so far up their own assholes that they convince everyone else that something special is going on. The funniest thing about this guy is that and I feel for Johnny Depp because it's clear. Like, unless you are, have you ever had a psycho, like a crazy girlfriend?
Gareth, you can't say that. Have you... Women lives matter.
No. But if...
yeah, but I know what you mean, though.
And maybe you're a girl. Maybe you're a girl who's had a crazy guy, you know, boyfriend. Maybe you've. Yeah. Everybody knows there's that one person who, you know, when you're going to break up with them, there's going to be just a massive amount of shit that you have to deal with. And I can promise you, within a couple of weeks of being with this Amber Heard, Johnny Depp suddenly realized, oh God, I've stood right in the landmine, and if I lift my foot now, it's going to go and blow up, and I'm going to be, you know,
blasted into smithereens. How he describes his relationship with Amber Heard?
Yeah.
Okay, one minute you feel like Cinderella, and the next 0.6 seconds you're Quasimodo. He said this on stat.
You see. Now, I mean, I don't know whether the judge is that interested in those things. What the judge is really interested in, and I mean, this is also, Johnny Depp knows what he's doing. Once the cameras are rolling in front of him, he's an expert at this. So maybe he's just giving us, you know, just enough of the background and throwing in enough character witness stuff that it convinces us.
Is this a judge or jury case? Because if it's a jury case, the theater plays well.
So I'm not actually sure. I haven't watched enough. But either way, the judge is interested in the facts that as pertaining to the law, whereas the jury may be persuaded by more emotional stories, and maybe that's what he's doing. I don't know. But this whole thing, it strikes me as just like the most awful, unbelievably sad way for any relationship to end. And, you know, we were talking yesterday about how I think there was a threesome.
Between her and Elon Musk,
this is so messed up. Like, imagine Hollywood's greatest actor, Elon, as Michael Flax calls him. So imagine you are the most successful living male actor in Hollywood, because a lot of people have said Johnny Depp is, right? Whether he is or isn't, he's certainly in the top five of this generation.
Yeah.
You know, like,
he's one of those guys that go back. He goes back to that school of Brad Pitt. They all stay in one room or something like that with George Clooney and all of them.
You know, in the previous generation, it was Denzel, it was Pacino, it was De Niro. Then there's this Johnny Depp generation. So he's the most famous, or one of the most famous actors in Hollywood. And you've got the richest man in the world. And then you've got this lunatic woman. And it's just, what it proves to you is, doesn't matter how successful you are, doesn't matter how famous you are, those two things are worth nothing. If a girl comes along who is just so different and vivacious and interesting, and maybe she's sexy at the beginning and she's wild, and you're like, oh my God, I need to be with this girl. And the most wealthy and the most successful and the most famous and the most crafting, brilliant, superb, talented people of this generation fall for this woman, and then she ends up being a chocolate fireplace.
No, the problem, Gareth, these guys didn't do the crazy hot scale. There's a crazy hot scale. So you have crazy and you have hot. So if she's this hot, she has to be this crazy in order for you to consider it.
But then
I've seen Amber Heard.
But then they did do the crazy hot scale. Have you met this woman? Because we only know what we know from third parties. I've never met her. You've never met her. There must be something about this woman that is absolutely, it's just like magnetism, right? There has to be. I don't know what she's famous for. What has she done in her life?
I think I know her from, the most recent movie was Aquaman that I know her from.
Okay.
But like, she looked hot, but she's not unbelievably hot for me to like lose everything over.
No, 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 dude. I don't know. I have to tell you, I've got a picture of her here that you may think that, you may say that now. It's fine. We know the details of what happened and what transpired afterwards. But let me tell you, this woman has got something. Whatever she's got there, it's something worth having. You got these grown-ass men who are absolutely eating out of her hand. And not just any men, the guys that you want to be. right?
Yeah, you either want to be famous.
Right. Let me show you a picture.
Jack Sparrow, or I forgot his name.
Or Elon Musk. Yep.
Well, Elon Musk, the world's richest
dude,
man.
Dude, don't tell me that that's an easy one. She snagged both these dudes. She got them with her looks, with her personality, with whatever she's got. Look at this picture. She looks goddamn good there. Don't tell me that's not how it's...
Okay. I was thinking of a different Amber.
Tell me that's not hot. Huh?
Whatever floats your boat.
I don't know. No, she's, not your she's scene? Fine. I don't know, dude. There's something about that. There's something about that look. Here she is with Johnny. She looks good. Here's Johnny. Shame.
Shining reference.
But the part I heard, which made me pause and reflect, was... She hated going to Johnny's house because she would arrive there and then she said there were all these old men playing guitars and she thought it was so boring. That was what she said.
She hates the old men.
She hates the old men playing their guitars. I mean, what a thing to say. And Johnny Depp is sitting there, and this is the clip I saw, and he's chewing gum, which is annoying. He's like, the whole time. And then he listens to her saying this and he kind of smiles. And then he carries on chewing his gum. But he's looking directly forward, not looking at anyone else. And it made me think of, you know, situations I've seen where a partner of one of my friends isn't having as much fun as that friend. And you kind of think, oh, well, that person's going to go home and say, oh, what a boring night. Even though the friend loved it. Like Johnny Depp was probably playing guitar with two or three of the most famous musicians in the world, right? And they're all sitting there jamming. But this spoiled little girl is like, oh, it's old men playing guitars. You could just see she's from a different mindset.
Yeah.
I mean, Johnny Depp used to be best friends. He did the eulogy at Hunter S. Thompson's funeral.
Oh.
Right. Now, he's the guy who wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Mm. And Johnny went on to turn that into a movie. But if you've got friends like Hunter S. Thompson, do you really care what Amber Heard thinks?
Well, clearly he did enough to marry her.
Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, Michael says, no, Pumi this morning, she said, I just slept through my alarm. This is from Pumi. She just sent me a message now. I'm not feeling great. Had hoped to be better this morning. Just woke up to everyone's missed calls. Sorry for the late notice. So I don't think Pumi will be joining us this morning. So guess what, Bhagavantu? You're on until the end. You're doing the burning platform this morning.
Ta-da. Okay. No, it's cool.
Whether you like it or not. Anyway.
Whether I like it or not.
Let's look at a couple of things. They've finally lifted the mask mandate in America on planes. That was the last place that there was an official federal mask mandate. On planes, yeah. On trains, and on buses. So now finally... the stewardesses and the cabin crew can finally take off their masks. I mean, the fact that it's taken so long, here we still have it, right? We still have a mask mandate, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Time to give it up. I don't see the point.
Yeah, we should really get rid of the mask. I am so tired of wearing a mask. I have to, because I've been working here and we have a mask optional. Mm-hmm. Policy. Mm-hmm. So I get to actual work and I'm like, yo, where's my mask? Yo, and we have proper surgical K95 masks. So that those things actually choke you. You definitely can't breathe through those things because nothing is getting in. But hey.
Well, there are some, believe it or not, like you and I are talking like this, and then there are other people on the other side of the world who are actually upset that there is not a mask mandate now. There are people losing their shit on one of the U.S. news channels. There was a doctor who actually went on and said, what you want to do is take a box of extra masks and then hand them out to people so that you can make the world a little safer for yourself. I'm like, really? And this woman, by the way, is talking about cloth masks. She's not talking about those KN95s that you were talking about now. So they do nothing anyway.
They do absolutely nothing. And the fact that I can stand in front of a shop and borrow a mask from a friend and then walk in,
it's stupid.
It's fiddling, so stupid. Jared. But hey, we have that video of Cyril trying to put on his cloth mask wrong. So We always have those memories.
Well, a lot of people, here's Tracy saying, pretty girls. It's always the pretty girls. They're hard work, referring to Amber. Natalie says, Amber Heard also dated Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. She's got a type.
Dude 69 says, she is hot, but I can see the crazy in her eyes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. One of the old men playing guitar was Alice Cooper, apparently, according to Parallel Parking. You see, now, if you've got him going, one look could kill my pain, your thrill, then you're okay with it, for God's sake, Amber Heard. What did you want?
Amber Heard is just like,
these old men playing guitars. Jesus.
It's so unattractive.
Carl says, have you seen that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm about the magical vagina? Maybe old Amber isn't part of the herd, but she has a magical vagina. Maybe.
Curb is really great. I binged the latest season. It showed up on Showmax. Yeah, I binged the latest season. Oh, it showed up on Showmax, and I was like, I have to watch all of it. It was pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, we got time for a couple of headlines. Do you want to hear what's going on in the world? Let's
hear them out.
All right. So first things first, fallout after Helen Ziller's better to be poor in Lunga comment. You know, Helen Ziller can't help herself, and I don't think she cares anymore. Like, you can't cancel this woman. So, the headline is, disingenuous and backward. Fallout after Ziller's better to be poor in Lunga comment. This is how the Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance, have you heard of them before? The Greater Cape Town Civic Alliance. Anyway, described the comment of DA Federal Council Chairperson Helen Ziller, who in an interview said, to be poor in Lunga was 100, probably 1,000 times better than being poor in many of the other townships around the rest of the country. Ziller, a former Cape Town mayor and Western Cape premier, in an interview on 702 on Tuesday, was responding to a question about the difference in the reality of those who live in the suburbs compared to those who call the city's poorer communities home. She said the following. People who come, this voice of mine is perfect for Helen Ziller this morning. People who come to the Western Cape absolutely poverty-stricken in search of jobs, in search of schools, in search of health facilities that all work. She says, even if you live in a shack, you're far more likely to have electricity, close access to running water, sewerage and all those things than poor people have anywhere else in the country, she told the host, Clement Magnatella. It's not a matter of conjecture or a matter of speculation as to whether life is better for the poor in the Western Cape. Life is much better for the poor in the Western Cape than it is for poor people in the rest of the country because access to basic services works. Magnatella pointed out not all townships and informal settlements are experiencing these government responsibilities. So what do we think of this? Because we know Helen doesn't care. You can't cancel her. You can't get, she's going to have her opinion. She's learnt the hard way. You don't apologize. You just keep going and fuck the people who disagree with you. That's Helen Ziller's opinion on these things. And rightly so. She's been through the runner. She's an old lady now and she doesn't need to take anyone's shit. She doesn't care if you like her or not.
So unfortunately, what she says could be true. I've never been in a shack in Lunga. I don't know.
Neither
have I. It could be true, but it's a cheap shot in the sense what happened in Lunga, and you just don't have to say it. You just don't. We know Cape Town is this utopia that it's built up to be, but being poor, like what's that saying? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king.
Yes.
So it's not something you want to compare. Like, no one wants to compare struggles. It's the fact that we have people in shacks and whatnot.
But all that the media do is compare struggles. All that the media do. I know you don't and I don't, but this is all they do. And then when you give them an actual comparison, they're horrified.
They hate it.
Yeah. They're horrified because, you know, as long as they're the ones turning the camera there and not taking the camera on themselves, then they're okay. The minute you turn it on them, you know what? She's probably right. And even if it's only 1 or 2% better living in Lunga than it is in Tembisa,
it's still objectively better.
She's not saying
she is right. In Cape Town, that's why people flock to Cape Town. That's an actual statistic. People flock to where there's opportunity.
If Cape Town was shit, as the media is always trying to tell us, because they don't want to admit that the DA run things better than the ANC, which is, again, objectively.
But is that overcorrecting? It's that overcorrecting with the media does, because Cape Town is such a beacon of light. So we have to see, we have to look for all the small details that they're getting wrong. Yeah.
So anyway,
Helen. Oh, yeah, I thought you were taking a swig from a Heineken.
No, it's just water. So Helen is right, and you can get upset about it, but it's still true. You know, again, I just don't understand how people have this idea in their heads that if everyone just had the same amount of stuff, if we all lived in the same exact house, if we all had the same amount of money in the bank, that somehow we'd all be happy. You know you wouldn't, right? Because first of all, if you took everything and you divided it by the number of people, we'd all still be poorer. As the average would be poor, but everyone would be at the same level of poor. And you know what? Within a month of you doing that, distributing everything to everyone, within a month, there would be rich people and poor people again. That's just how it works. It's not fair. It's not right. But this is not, you're not a child. Fair is not something that the adult should worry about. Adults don't get worried about, that's not fair. You know who complains that's not fair? Kids on the playground. When one of them drops their sucker into the sand and they pull up their sucker and go, oh, shit, now I can't eat this. But Johnny's still got his. That's not fair. Well, who dropped the sucker, kid? But you don't argue with a child. You give them a new sucker, right? Because they go, it's not fair. But if you're an adult and you're still going, it's not fair, then you haven't grown up yet. And of course it's not fair that people have to live in Nanga. It's not the greatest place. Yeah. But no one's going around with a clipboard saying, you, we're sending you to Langa. You, we're sending you to Sandhurst. Some people, there are people who are way luckier than me, way richer than me. Maybe they've worked hard, maybe they haven't. Maybe they just inherited it, like Prince Harry.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with equality. These other people in the media are obsessed with equality. You know what? There's no such thing. The sooner you get over that, the better you'll be. The happier you'll be. The moment you realize, like, I'm not the richest person. I'm not the cleverest person. I'm not the best-looking person. I'm not the fittest person. I'm not the healthiest person. The moment you realize all of that, there's always going to be someone above you. There's always going to be someone below you. The happier you'll be, because you'll stop comparing yourself. Now, when Helen... she says about a media that's obsessed with comparing things... She goes, well, objectively, Langa's better than any other township. Oh, then they lose their shit. Like, we're the ones who do the comparing, not you. Right?
But, yeah, no, it's terrible. It's like, I don't know. So that's why I said I don't live in Langa, but I think she has a point there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have an informal settlement.
And even if she doesn't have a point, or you're upset that she has the opinion she has, then why did you ask her? You knew what you were going to get, right? Anyway, I'm really tired of hearing, like, adult human beings, grown-ups, saying, it's not fair, and we need equality. And these people in the media, I mean, I know that they mostly get paid really bad money to do a really bad job, because most media people in this country are really terrible. I was talking to someone just the other day about how many media people and even people who call themselves journalists in South Africa, how many of them are actually so poor that you can buy them to write a story that makes you look good. And they're in the pay, some of them. Again, I'm not going to speculate about which ones, because there are good journalists in this country too. Again, inequality. You've got great people, you've got shitty people. But there are a lot of shitty journalists who work for quite, you know, well-known and respectable publications who, if a gangster offers them 10 grand to write a slightly nicer story about them, they'll take it, man, because they're earning half of that most months. And
that 10 grand is untaxed?
Sure, and they can maybe they can get their kids a nice birthday present, or they can pay for their mom's hospital bills or whatever. I'm not criticizing them. But that's all part of how it all works. And don't believe that all of these journalists are doing the best job they can either. It helps for them to also distract all the rest of us. Because, so Bakabantu, let's say there's a story in the news about inequality or climate change. And climate change is coming up a bit later on. Now, you can't do anything about inequality and climate change, can you, as an ordinary person?
Yeah, as me, Bakabando, I can't.
Right. You can't do anything about climate change. You may separate your rubbish, but your influence on the environment is negligible. You may drive a hybrid vehicle, but your impact on the environment is negligible. We're talking about things that take 100 years or more to have an effect. And we're talking about a concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that, you know, it is minuscule, the kind of difference that you make by doing a certain thing or behaving a certain way. So worrying about that stuff is really all in your head, but it is a very handy distraction. Because if you're thinking about the big things like climate change and inequality, and you don't ever have to do anything about them, it makes you feel like you're doing something, even though you're doing nothing.
Yeah. Mm. It's the perception over the real. You prefer the... It feels like I'm recycling. It feels like I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
I think that's what people call it.
Yeah.
I have a beef with climate change because someone wrote an article, a journalist or a reporter, whatever you want to call them. Someone wrote an article that South Africa and the floods are reaping the rewards of our negligence on recycling and oil and global warming and whatnot. I'm like, if South Africa was the greenest country in the world, we'd still have floods.
Of course. Of course. And, well,
this is not a South Africa problem. This is
a world problem. So we're going to be talking to someone called Ian Scher later on. He's the CEO of Rescue South Africa. And they have responded to natural disasters worldwide over the last 21 years. So we can ask him this because he's the right guy to talk to. And it's interesting we should be talking about all of this stuff this morning too. But we are also going to profile an electric vehicle, a fully electric vehicle that is going to blow your mind in just a few minutes. So stick around for that. I'll play you a little clip of something we've put together. Very, very cool project that we're busy doing with BMW. So I'll tell you about that just now. But you know what? It's interesting to hear how many people want to focus on those big issues because it makes them feel like they're part of something, they're doing something.
Yeah.
But actually their own life is a total disaster. Like
mm-hmm.
they owe the Mashonisa 500 Rand every month that they don't have. They owe some clothing store 5,000 Rand that they'll never pay back. Their house is a mess. Their kids are turning into drug addicts. They haven't made any effort at work for the last 3 years, but they still somehow are miraculously employed. Those are the people who go, climate change, let's get behind that one. Because it allows them to forget about their own serious problems that they can do something about and rather focus on something that they can get some points for by being outspoken
about. It's all about that human rating system. I want to look good. So what will make me look good?
Right.
If I talk about climate change, if I retweet the Ukraine flag and I'm praying for Ukraine, well, actual stuff is happening in your life that you could have an impact on and you're choosing to ignore.
So again, let's just go to this. I mean, a lot of people are agreeing here because Helen Ziller is one of those people who somehow, despite the media's best efforts to make her seem like she's an unreasonable, crazy old nutcase who lives in a bubble, the fact is a lot of people respect Helen. I mean, a lot more people voted for Helen than voted for Musi, and a lot more people voted for Helen than voted for John Steenhuisen, and a lot more people voted for Helen than voted for Julius. Let's just remember that. And the media hate that. They can't figure out why. Why is this crazy old white woman more popular than Julius? And why is this crazy old white woman more popular than the perfect Musi Maimane? And why is this crazy old white woman more popular than John Steenhuisen? The fact is, and here's Ethan, he says, I'm a big Helen fan. I'd love to meet her one day. Hope you can get her on the show again soon. And Ethan's not alone. People love her. She's mostly retired now. I mean, she doesn't care about any of this stuff. But when you get her on a radio show, and you're Clement Magnatella and you ask her, like, hey, you know, this terrible place to live, township, it's a terrible place for everyone to live. No one wants to live there. If you give them the choice, they'll always move to the suburbs. Where is the best township and where's the worst township to live? If you ask someone that, or you even ask them, do you think it's better in the Western Cape than anywhere else? First of all, you know what she's going to say because she was formerly the mayor, right? And the premier. Yeah. So You think she's going to say, oh, no, the Northwest's much better. So you're a fool in the first place if you think that's going to be her answer. Then when she gives you the answer and she backs it up with facts and she says, this is why Langa is the best township to live in, even though it's a township, then people get upset with her. It's like, you know, this is Amber Heard level. This is Amber Heard level crazy.
Yeah, people hate the truth. People want to feel good. People don't want to. They want to feel. They don't want to. I don't know. They don't want the truth. They want feelings. Oh, Helen makes me so angry. Yeah. But what has Helen ever done? And then you look at her resume. Oh no, she's actually done good things. Yeah. So, oh, okay. But she's racist.
People love
that. She ran the most profitable town or province ever.
Yeah. And maybe she made life better for a whole lot more black people than the real racists want you to think. Anyway, Mucky says, Helen is right. Durban also has shacks like Cape Town, but the media tend to focus more on Cape Town because the DA runs it. That's the truth.
Mm. Yeah.
Journalists don't care about shack dwellers. True. You know who cares more about shack dwellers than journalists? Helen Ziller. You know how we know? Because she actually did something about it. Right? I mean, you know, it's this is so complicated, but I love it. So good for Helen. She's getting everybody wound up, and she doesn't care if you think she's a racist either. She doesn't care. Because,
and for me, it always kills me, the people who want an apology for these things.
Yeah.
So does Helen apologizing fix the problem?
No.
If she's like, oh, no. You do the voice.
I refuse to apologize.
But hey, we want that apology. We want it to sound genuine.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, listen, this is much, much more exciting. Do you remember last year we spoke to a whole lot of people at BMW? Do you remember? About the future of mobility and the switch to electric cars and electric engines. Well, we spoke to a guy called Peter van Binsbergen, who's the CEO of BMW in South Africa and in sub-Saharan Africa. And we spoke to someone called Dieter Herbst. Do you remember? The head of BMW product management, among others. Now, at that stage, we were just talking about, you know, BMW generally, where they're headed. But they did drop a few hints about some of the cars that were coming down the pipeline. And we did a whole podcast series with Francisco Nwamba called Opposed to Innovation. Do you remember that? Well, if you hadn't listened to that, you need to go and listen to it.
CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. You can actually listen to it right now on CliffCentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We're not fussy. If you're on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or whatever, go and listen to it. It's called Opposed to Innovation. Well, the BMW iX is now available in South Africa. And you've got to take a look at this to believe it. All right. If you're not on YouTube this morning, you're missing out. So I'm going to play the ad, 30 seconds of it. And you can just see what we're talking about here. This is phenomenal. This is the iX. Take a look. Now, don't tell me that isn't a hot-looking car. So there were a couple of cars featured in that ad. There was the iX3, the i4, and then we had the iX. The iX is phenomenal. And I wish that Lebang was here this morning because she was at the shoot that we did the other day.
Yeah, because you guys left me behind. I have a beef with
Lebang.
Sorry
about that.
she posted it on Instagram.
So I'll give you the basics around this thing because this is so exciting. You know, we talk about electric cars with George every week, and he's a massive fan of electric cars. But we also know how much brand value BMW has in South Africa. It's phenomenal. It's probably one of the most popular and iconic brands in the whole country, by a New York mile, right? If you had to list the most popular, sought after, the most aspirational brands in the country, BMW is going to be mentioned. It's without a doubt in the top three. So this iX is phenomenal. It is a fully electric vehicle. It has over 600 kilometers in range, which even for those people who don't like electric vehicles, you've got to admit that's pretty damn impressive. 600 kilometers before you have to charge again. Dude. It's got it's got these buttons inside that are made of Swarovski crystal. So you know the little, you know the little the seat, the way you adjust your seat?
Yeah.
It's shaped like a seat. Those little pieces of the seat are made out of Swarovski crystal. The dude, it's got a panoramic roof, which is one of those ones like you see in a Bond movie where you press a button and it electrically goes clear, and then you press a button and it goes dim. So it actually blocks the sun. It's done by charge. It's phenomenal. This thing is, you talk about a vehicle that's taking you into the next century. This is it. It's got a self-healing grill in the front. So this grill in the front, which looks phenomenal, and you're going to be able to see all of this, and you're able to hear about it in the podcast series and everything. It's if a little chip gets taken out of it, it fixes itself. Again, like in the sci-fi movies, man.
It sounds like a concept car.
It's a real car, and it's available in South Africa now. And I've got to say, full congratulations to BMW here. We've got Dr. Musa, who's well known to car fanatics in South Africa, also an actual medical doctor. Francisco Nwamba, who has been on our previous series, and we're going to be revealing the entire the whole story behind the iX and giving you a real insider's view of what's happened, what brought this car to South Africa and what it has that other cars do not. And there's a long list. We also got the chance to view the vehicle, and I got to speak to Dr. Musa and Francisco, and I'll play that interview for you in the next week. So stick around, because we'll give you a front row seat to all of that stuff. And then we shot this amazing reveal video with Dr. Musa and Francisco, where we show off the car, all of its features. And when I tell you all of it, we mean like from top to bottom. We go through everything. This is a magnificent vehicle. And both of those gentlemen have been driving it for a little while, so they can talk about every aspect of it. It's going to be amazing.
Sure.
So make sure you check out the videos on our YouTube channel. It's coming soon. And tell us what you think. We want to hear from you on the YouTube comments this morning, or you can send us an email, contact@cliffcentral.com. We want to hear from you. Rusty says he's very excited. That's awesome. Yeah, very, very cool. So lots and lots of cool things. How much is the iX? Also, a lot of people are asking. So
that's the question I had.
I think it's about 1.7 million. But if you look at what you're getting, and, you know, cars are expensive now. Like, you don't get cars in this range. You do not get them for under a million rand. It just doesn't happen.
I think your quote about it's literally the car for the next century.
Mm-hmm.
That's your take home. Your takeaway here.
Yeah.
It's the innovation. It's the steam engine. It's petrol. It's everything. It's just.
And you know what? I mean, let's be fair. For a long time, it's one of the things I discussed with Dr. Musa and Francisco, is for a long time, electric vehicles weren't actually very cool. They were a little bit like, oh, shame, you know.
Prius. Prius.
Yeah, right, Prius.
Prius looks like.
This is exactly on the other scale. It's like, this is the sexiest thing ever. So all of that.
What the Prius wishes it was.
Yeah, listen, this is what the Prius could have evolved into if it was a BMW. But you know what? Not everybody goes. Again, inequality, right? Inequality. I'm sorry. Inequality brings you the most interesting things. Equality brings you none of that. We got lots to talk about in the Burning Platform, which is next. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Stick around. We want to hear from you. Send us your details if you have any suggestions. And if you've got anybody that you really want us to talk to, especially if it comes to things like electric vehicles. There are lots of people with plenty of opinions. I mean, I know I have friends who are just not interested in electric vehicles. They are totally into
diesel,
the old
guzzlers, destroying the ozone layer.
And that, interestingly enough, is what we will be discussing with Ian Scher from Rescue South Africa. That's coming up next. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. Cliffcentral.com. Don't go anywhere.
Cliffcentral.com.